Let's turn again to the part of God's word which we read together, the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 11, let us consider a part of verse 3. As the Lord may be pleased to help us, let us consider part of verse 3, the second part of verse 3 in chapter 11. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Well, there are various matters of ordinary life that are brought before us with a view to us in making a spiritual application of them. There is, in particular, the tree, and eventually trees get old. Some trees may live for thousands of years, others for a much shorter time, and I'm assuming just now that they are not cut down for their wood. They fall, and that's it. They'll just lie there. Whatever the direction is in which they fall, that's where they're going to lie. And that's pointing us to something very important. We'll fall in one direction or the other when the time comes for us to die. If we're pointing in one direction, just as if the tree is pointing towards the north, if it's leaning towards the north, that's the way in which it's going to fall. Or if the wind is coming from the south, on a very stormy day, and the tree falls to the north, that's the way it's going to lie. Or if the wind is coming from the north, the tree will fall toward the south, and that's the way it's going to lie. And that's the way it will be with us, whichever way we are facing. If we're leaning towards the world, and that's the way death finds us, that's the way we're going to lie. Facing away from heaven, facing towards a lost eternity. That's how it will be with us, that we will spend eternity facing away from God, and there'll never be any hope of a change then. Or if we fall in the other direction, if we're facing the other direction when we die, if we're looking towards heaven, if we're looking towards spiritual things, then that's the way we're going to fall at death. We'll fall towards heaven. Our souls first will be brought to heaven. And our bodies, on the day of their resurrection, they will fall in that same direction also. For whatever way the tree falls, that's the way it's going to lie. I'm pretty sure I mentioned probably a number of times a tree down near Kyle's Lodge, and it's very much bent away from the prevailing wind, leaning away from the shore very noticeably. If that tree is blown over. It's pretty obvious which way it is going to fall. And according to the way death will find us, that strong wind of death, that's the way we're going to fall. If we're facing towards heaven, we'll be in heaven forever. If we're facing towards sin and a lost eternity, that's the way we will be forever. And there's no use saying, I've got plenty time yet. Plenty time yet to change. Trees don't change their direction, that is true. But human beings can. That is, the Lord can bend us to the opposite direction. That's the way we begin our lives, leaning towards sin and worldly things. But the Lord works in the hearts of sinners. And that's what we should be asking, that the Lord would work in our hearts, so that we would lean away from the world, so that we would lean away from sin, so that we would lean towards godliness, that we would lean it towards God himself, and that we would lean towards heaven. Well, I have two main points just now, and may the Lord bless them to us. First, our condition spiritually at death absolutely determines our eternal state. What we are at death in relation to spiritual things, that's the way we will be to all eternity. And then, in the second place, the earnestness that there should be in our hearts to seek salvation and to be sure of being in Christ, seeing that is the case. First, the application of what we have in the verse about the tree, and then secondly, the earnestness that we should feel, the earnestness that we should even seek from the Lord. And that is so. Well, we're going to die. Everything comes to an end in this world. We see one and another taking away from this world. We see circumstances change. Change is everywhere. But there's the great change. In passing away from this world, we've seen it so often. Death has entered our families. Death has entered our villages. But we're still spared. But the time will come when the tree will fall. The time will come when you and I will fall, as it were, into eternity. We don't know when, but it's obvious enough that it will happen. And the fact that we don't know when, it should make us all the more earnest to seek the Lord, though we'll come to that later, I trust. But, you see, it's such an important matter that I mentioned it again just now. This whole matter of facing up to reality, that's it. We face up to many a reality. Though there may be things we would want to run away from, and people want to run away from the thought of death, but there's this, what's beyond death. People will want to say, many of them today, perhaps very few who have been brought up as we have been brought up, they will dare to deny that there's something after death. But many a one will live as if death was the end, as if life was a candle that was snuffed out at death. But no, there is a God, and God has made a revelation. He has given a revelation in this book, the Bible. And it's not so much the fact of death that we need to have revealed in the Word. What we need is to make a practical use of the fact of death. Now, people might know all sorts of things about a particular areas of knowledge. They could perhaps tell you lots of things about the engine of a car, be up to date with the latest models, any modifications that have been made to car engines. And yet, you might send them out to find out what is wrong with a car. And if that is known, ask them to put the car right, and they haven't a clue. They don't know how to begin. They've never done it. For all the knowledge that they have, and that's the way with people so often, they know about death, they know about heaven and hell, they know even about the way of salvation, but they don't know what it is to walk in the way of righteousness. They don't know what it is to look to Christ Jesus. They've never made a practical use of all these things. Well, death is going to come. And we have it emphasized, for instance, in Psalm 103, where it says, "As for man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Yes, but what's then? What then? When the tree falls, which way is it going to fall? And if you have to say that the tree which represents you is leaning towards sin, then you're going to be in the place of sin forever, in the place where sin is not restrained, in the place where the punishment of sin, it will be eternal. And if you're leaning towards holiness, if your desires are going out towards holiness and Christ and salvation through him and through him alone, then that's the way you'll fall. The way you'll fall is the way you'll be forever and ever. If you're leaning towards holiness, you'll be perfectly holy forever. Isn't that wonderful? Or do you feel that holiness is not something that you really want? Well, ask the Lord to change. That's the thing. To move a tree from leaning towards the east so that it leans toward the west, I suppose that's impossible for anyone. Once the tree is grown, so it is when the sinner is set in his ways. How is he going to lean in the opposite direction? How is he going to face towards holiness when the whole bent of his character or her character is towards sin? Oh, it's God that can do that. God does that. God is able to do it. Be asking him earnestly, seriously. See, I'm coming back to that point. Because it is so important. So we'll focus on it, I hope, for a little while more particularly. Let us have it in mind as we are trying to say something about the matter before us just now, the direction in which people are leaning when they die. For we will die, as you have it in chapter 12 here. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There was the Saviour speaking about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was leaning very definitely towards the things of this world. He enjoyed his feasts. No word about Lazarus. Nothing in his heart for that good man who was sitting at his door. See if he could get something. There was no kindness in the rich man's heart. He was leaning towards sin and the world and the enjoyments of the world. And there was Lazarus. And he was leaning in the opposite direction. And each tree fell. And as the tree fell, so it was with them. That's the way they were going to lie. Lazarus was taken to heaven. That's the way he was in this world. And he was taken to heaven, to the blessedness of heaven, to the sinlessness of heaven. And the rich man, he was taken to a lost eternity. Yes, he soon knew about that. What he had disbelieved in this world, what had not influenced him. You see, he might well have known a lot about the scriptures, the Old Testament, which is what all he had. But he didn't make a practical use of it. You see, that's the matter for us. We know about death and judgment and eternity, about heaven and hell, but are we making a practical use of these matters? Now that's the great thing. When we come to church, you hear something said without going into speaking about all the parts of the service. You hear something said. There's a message. But are you saying to yourself, what's here that I can make a practical use of? And even if you have to say, the sermon today went right over my head. Well, you can make a practical use of that even. If you're saying, I didn't understand what the preacher was saying, then go to the Lord and tell him that. Ask him to change you. Ask him to give you an understanding. Ask him to help you, to enable you to make a practical use of what you are hearing. Even if what you're left with is as limited as that, that you didn't understand. Go to the Lord with that. And ask him to apply the truth of God's word to your soul. See, that's what we need. What's a church? Well, her thinking of it just on its own just now, a particular congregation. There's a structure that we want to have perpetuated from generation to generation. And there's various aspects to the organization of a congregation. But, you see, the critical thing is this, that people would get good for their souls, as those who are on their way to eternity, as those who are to meet with a holy God on the other side of death. And the great question should be, am I fit to meet with God? When the tree that represents me, when I, as a tree, fall in death, and that I will be in that same condition forever. What condition? That's the question that each of us should ask. What condition? Yes, as the tree falls, so will it lie. In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Yes. And wherever the soul falls, so to speak, there it is going to be forever. There's a great blessedness for those who go to heaven, who are leaning towards holiness in this world, who are seeking God's glory. Oh, they might say, there's this wrong with me, there's that wrong with me. I'm so imperfect. Well, for the Lord has begun a good work, he will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue it. He will carry it on. That's it. That's what the Lord will do. But he has begun a good work. Yes. And there's the judgment. After death, the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they were good or evil, according to which direction we were leaning in. Whether we were leaning towards sin, or leaning towards holiness. And oh, someone might make a comment. Someone who has passed from death to life might make a comment in relation to their sin. Ah, yes. And that comment in relation to their lack of holiness. Yes. But God understands that he has begun a good work in that soul. That there is some good thing there toward the Lord God of Israel. It's not that we're going to be complacent about our sin. It's not that we're to be complacent about our imperfection. We're to bring these things to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, asking for holiness. Yes, but you see, there's something significant about the desire for holiness. The desire to be put right. Yes. There's something significant. If it's a desire from the heart, if it is, it's what God has put there. When God reshaped the tree, as it were, that can be used to represent you. If though it was leaning towards the east for many years, he remolded you and made you lean towards himself. He made your desires go towards himself. Then all will be well at the judgment seat. The believers will go to the judgment seat without fear. They're perfect then. Whatever fear the Lord's people in this life may have of death, you see, they will be perfect in every way on the other side of death, and they will go to judge with perfect confidence, not in what they did, but in what Christ did for them when he purchased salvation for them. Yes, it was so that all would be well with them in eternity, and that they would have his blessing even in this world. As the tree, where the tree falleth, there it shall be to all eternity. how important that we would be facing in the right direction. Yes. But he that believeth not the Son, he shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's the awfulness of it. We have a lost eternity described, not in great deed. Perhaps we couldn't bear it if in this life we were to hear, if someone was to come back from a lost eternity to tell us about the awfulness of that state. Well, it's not going to happen for one thing, but if it did happen, then I doubt we could bear the awfulness of it. But are we going to experience it? Are we leaning towards holiness or towards sin and the things of this world? Which is it? In this world of sin and sorrow, where do you find your consolation? Supposing death does come into your home, supposing serious illness comes to yourself, supposing things go very difficult for you in your life, which way are you looking? Do you know your way to the throne of grace? Is it natural for you to commit yourself and your circumstances, your family, to the Lord? Has it become, in a sense, natural for you to do so, so that you give evidence to yourself and to others that you are leaning towards the Most High? Well, that's the way you will fall when death comes to you. How necessary to have a new nature. Paul speaks to the Thessalonians about how the Lord hath delivered us from the wrath to come. God's anger against sin, delivered from that, forgiven. Oh, then, should we not seek the Lord? Should we not look to Him? Should we not ask the Lord to draw us to Himself? There was Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, and he had this ungodly feast, and the writing appeared on the wall, many, many, take a loaf arse. And as Daniel interpreted the words, he said this as the significance of Tekel, though it weighed in the balances and found want. Though it weighed in the balances, when we go to judgment, when we appear on the other side of death, we associate balances with justice. An exact balancing of evidence one way and the other, and which direction does the balance pan fall in? Which direction? That's the question. Yes, Belshazzar was weighed and found wanting, and that night was King Belshazzar slain. He fell, the tree fell. Which way did it fall? Oh, justice pronounced. He was weighed in the balances, he was found wanting, he was still wanting, he was still lacking what he needed. When death came, he went to his own place. How is it with yourself? You're still on mercy's ground, you still have the opportunity to seek the Lord. But let us notice in the second place the earnestness that is appropriate. How earnest we should be in seeking a preparation for death, that we wouldn't continue to lean in the direction of sin. And how is the tree to be reshaped A tree that is leaning over, pushed over by the wind as it was growing. How is it to be brought to lean in the other direction? Oh, by the almighty power of God, bringing the soul to lean in the other direction. Are you seeking for that yourself? Are you earnest about it? There's a question. Oh, that we would all have a spiritual earnestness in the face of these things. That we would all have a spiritual earnestness. Nobody can say, I'm immortal, I'm never going to die. If they do so, you suspect their sanity. Ah, but is there not a spiritual insanity which is fearfully common? Are you earnest about your soul? Will you go out the door and say something like this? That's it over then. That's that service finished. Or you just launch into your ordinary conversation. Go about your ordinary affairs as if you had heard nothing. This earnestness that is appropriate to our situation in this world. To ask the Lord that he would change us. You see, when Solomon comes to the end of the book, he draws his conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, he says. What is it then? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What's the whole duty of man then? To fear God. To have a holy respect for him and for his commandments. To have a holy respect for the God who gave us the commandments. The God in whose hand our breath is. That's it. For God will bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we're going to judge. Somebody is going to court. He takes it seriously. He thinks over the evidence that he can bring to bear upon the situation. Has he got the facts clear in his mind? Will he be able to answer the questions that will be put to him? Has he made his case clear to his lawyer? This is serious. So he's in earnest about it. He thinks things over. And if he has wisdom, then he will pray about it. He will commit his case to the Lord, and we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the judge with whom we have to do. He knows everything. He knows everything about us. It's not just some outward traits of character. It's not just some things that we have done and some thoughts that have gone through our minds that he knows about. He knows everything about it. He can analyze their significance. One look and he knows it all. Though that's putting it after the manner of man. Yes, he knows everything. And that's the one with whom, before whom we must appear. Surely earnestness is called for. Are you earnest about your soul? Are you ever earnest about your soul? What more can I say about the seriousness of these things? What more can I say? I've tried to bring these things before you many a time. Has it made any impression? Has it made any lasting impression? Well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It will be known then. Oh, see that you do not allow time to drift on, leaning in the and you leaning in the opposite direction. See that you'll be in earnest about your soul. See that you take eternity seriously. See that you take God seriously. Be earnest. Acknowledge God as the one who is in control of everything. As the one who will take to do with you at last. Supposing you are trying to escape from him. Every time you hear a solemn sermon, do you try to escape from the thoughts that were set before you? Do you flee, not from the wrath to come, but you're leaning in that direction? But do you flee to Christ Jesus? Do you flee to God through Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners? That's it. These are questions, solemn questions, which you shouldn't allow it to drift past you. See, what you have at verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Yes, people may do that. This is not a command. This is something that is spoken ironically. It's saying that if you do these things, if you live just as you want to live, if you are ignoring God, if you are ignoring the thought of death and the eternity that lies beyond, then know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. The sorrow of having to experience these things. Things that we wouldn't speak about, except that they are revealed from heaven. And they are revealed from heaven so that we would make practical use of them. Take them with you. Take them with you. Remove sorrow from thine heart. Remove the sorrow that it would be yours in a lost eternity. I avoided saying that will be you. Yes, I could have added an if beyond that. But oh, how I would wish that you would all be brought into the kingdom of God, that you would take seriously the revelation that is in the scriptures, that has been set before you so often. One verse here and one verse here, but mainly the great topics of sin and salvation. Sin as a warning. Salvation, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The first verse I quoted there, it begins, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Yes, and though you would be getting on in years, you're still on mercy's ground. You may hope to have some more time in this world. Don't presume on it. As it were, grasp this particular moment as an opportunity, a further opportunity to seek salvation, to look to Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. You don't have long, perhaps. And some of us, we're getting older. Can't call ourselves young men or young women any longer. But the thought there in that verse, though particularly addressed to young people, it's for us all. And what a great matter this would be if we would live the rest of our lives to the glory of God. It's not only a matter of when the tree falls. Yes, it's this. that we would be leaning in the right direction by God's grace when the tree falls, but that we would live to God's glory while we are spared in this world, so that in a sense, and it's not an original idea, that you would be your neighbor's Bible. There's something different about that person. Someone might say about a godly person that they come in contact with. There's something different. What do they see? They're reading that person who is an epistle known and read of all men. They're consistent in their lives. They treat other people with respect, which is the sort of thing that people might notice first. The Lord sees other things. The Lord sees the root of the matter. God's people can face the godliness of those they come in contact with to its root in the work of grace. Yes. But oh, what a power for good the godly can be, even in the fact that they pray for other people. Pray for their community. Pray for the nation. They pray for the world. And in doing so, they are showing in which direction they are leaning. But let me quote to you this verse. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy when the tree falls. You see, the reproof of God's word has often been set before them. They have ignored it. They have hardened their hearts against the truth. Is that you? Is that the way that you are living? You see, things might change very suddenly. Death might come quite unexpectedly. After all, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When you don't expect it, that's what we've got to be aware of and be earnest accordingly. The danger of being cut off suddenly without any remedy any longer. The tree has fallen. That's it. Not going to bring forth fruit now. Oh, will you not take these things seriously? Will you not seek the Lord when while he may be found? Will you not remember your Creator before you are any older? Yes, oh, look to Christ. He has provided salvation. He came into the world to save sinners. Will you not look to him? Will you not trust in him to rescue you from the wrath to come? Will you not put yourself into his hands? I mentioned the person who was in earnest about his position, having to go to court, how he would be in earnest with his lawyer to make sure that the lawyer understands the facts of the case, which he believed, if they were heard, it would vindicate him altogether. Well, are you putting your case into the hands of the advocate before the throne of God in heaven? Seek grace to do so. Ask him, as it were, to recruit you as a client. That would be wonderful. You see, some lawyers are very busy chasing clients, whether there's a genuine case or not. But you see, you have a genuine case. The danger of falling into a lost eternity, if that's the way you are still leaning. You have what I might call a severe difficulty. If you go on as you are, you're going to fall into a lost eternity. If your house was going to be affected by severe subsidence, I think you would be at least investigating seriously what could be done about it. When you're in danger of falling into a lost eternity, you need to engage someone who would represent you before the throne of God, an advocate. That's the idea that I have in my mind. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Some hear her. Oh, engage that advocate. Trust in him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Look to him, and all will be well. When the tree falls, then it will lie in that particular direction. If you have engaged the advocate, if you have trusted in him as the Savior that God has appointed, then all will be well. When death comes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we have been about solemn and serious things. Take us under thine own loving care now. May we take these seriously. Take the realities of life seriously. Look upon us in thy great, great mercy, and turn us from our own ways so that we might serve thee. Oh, give us a cry that would go out to thyself. Lord, remember us in our need. Grant us thy blessing. Bless us as sinners in our way to eternity. Awaken our minds to the realities of life and of death and of eternity. And may we be calling upon the great advocate who can present the case of sinners before the throne, not for anything that we have done, but altogether because of what he has done. Bless us now, bless us this eve. Give us thy blessing. Remember all that is done in thy name today. Pardon us and keep us. For Jesus' sake, amen.